Am I on?
Okay. There we go. Well, I don't need to preach really because that video just said it all. It was my whole sermon. But first of all, we're going to talk about our relaunch of our women's ministry here at North Elevation Church. Yes, it is new to North Elevation Women Warriors. Of course, we're warriors. We're warriors in God. And we are going to have our first event. Since we've done our relaunch, we're going to have our first event on March 12th, Friday night, March 12th. So I want all you ladies, put that on your calendar until there's a lot of people not here. So make sure everybody knows, people that you know in the church and you know outside of the church. And tell them to, and invite them to come, March 12th. We're going to begin at 6:30. We're going to have a light meal that our wonderful caterer, restaurant owner, Adrian Tella, is providing for us. And then we're going to start our service somewhere probably close to 7:30-ish, between 7:15, 7:30. And we're going to have a night of worship, a night of ministry, a night of the word, a powerful night. It's going to be a powerful night. So I want all of you to be here, all of you ladies, and there's got to be a few men here too because we have men on the worship team. We got to have John back there running sound. We got to have a few men here. Colin's got to be here, Chris, you know, all that. So we're going to have a wonderful time, and it's going to be a blessing. Whoever, all that come will be blessed. You will be blessed, and you will be so glad you came. So that's my commercial. Now I'm going to get into my message. Now, I was going to do this message last Sunday, which was Valentine's Day. So I thought, love, the power of love. That will be perfect for Valentine's Day. And I even wore my red and everything. But the thing is, I didn't get to do it, of course, as you know, last Sunday because of the weather. So I'm doing it this Sunday. But, you know, God's timing is perfect. We may have our plans, but things don't always go according to our plans. But God's timing is perfect. So I'm supposed to deliver this message today. So, and everyone listening on Facebook Live, listen good and listen to the whole thing. And because God's given me a message for us, for the church, and for those that are not in the church yet, but will be. Because he has a message and he wants the world to know of his love, the power of love, the greatest power in all the universe is love. You may not have ever thought of that before, but that is the greatest power in all the universe. There is no greater power because God is love. Therefore, love is God. Love is God, and God is love. But don't confuse this with man's love. God's love is nothing like man's love. God's love is a true love, unconditional. God's love will never disappoint because it is unconditional. Romans 5:5 tells us, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Okay, this is a love that you can only have once you receive Jesus as your Savior. You cannot know or experience God's love until you have Jesus, receive Jesus as your Savior, and the Holy Spirit fills our hearts with his love. That is how you experience agape love. That is how you give agape love. That is how you love with agape love, which is true love. This is true love. This is the only true love there is. There is no other true love. There is no other real love. It's only God's love, agape love. And you can only experience it, and you can only give it when the Holy Spirit has filled your heart with his love. You cannot know this love unless you have the Holy Spirit living within you. So I want everyone to really get that down in you. Once you have the Holy Spirit living in your heart, you can love just like God. Just like God loves. When you have the Holy Spirit, because He sheds that love abroad in your heart. He fills your heart with that love. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another. For love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That's where and how we know that God is love. Because it says right here in 1 John 4, 8, for God is love. Now, there are two kinds of love, and we're going to look at those today. Only two kinds. There is agape love, and that is love by choice. It refers to the will rather than the emotions. Love is not a feeling. It is a choice. We can't be guided by our emotions, because our emotions can be all over the place, especially women, especially, you know, us, especially menopausal women, especially women in general, but men too, you know, and men, you're not off the, you know, you've guided by your emotions sometimes too, you know that. And so we must not be guided by our emotions. We must not love or hate or have whatever feeling we have because of our emotions, because of whatever emotion we're feeling at the time. No. Love is a choice, period. Love is a choice. We have to make a choice that we're going to love. Whether we feel like it or not, we make that choice to love. And philos is love by chance. This is friendship love, man's love. This love is conditional. Where God's love is unconditional, this love is conditional. This is the love that says, I will love you if. I will love you if you make me happy. I will love you if you do what I say. I will love you if you meet my expectations. I will love you if. Well, forget that. That is not true love. That is not love. That is man's love. That is the only way man without God knows how to love. The only way. But for us that have Jesus in our hearts, that have the Holy Spirit within us, we should live with and love with agape love. We should love by choice and not by feelings. We should love unconditionally. Unconditionally, not conditionally, as the world's love. Mark 12, 28 through 31 says, one of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel. The Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. So Jesus himself said, the most important commandments is to love God with your whole being, with everything within you. Love him. That means you've got to dedicate your life to him. That means you've got to submit to him in every area of your life to love him with your whole being. And then the other is to love your neighbor, to love people. So Jesus is saying, the two greatest commandments, first, love God. Second, love people. Love God, love people. That is what we are to do as Christians. That is our assignment. Now, there are keys to love. And I'm going to give three keys to love today. And key number one is power. Love is power. These keys will help you to love. These are what love is made up of. God's love is made up of is these keys. And this one of the number one is power. God's love is power. It's only through the power of God's love that we can love others as we love ourselves. And this gives us power to love the unlovable. That can be hard to do. But this power, God's love, God's agape love, will give us the power to love the unlovable. When you can love in the face of adversity, that is power. When you can love when you're being mistreated, that is power. When you can love when you've been offended, someone has hurt you, someone has spoken rude, or someone has done something against you in any way, but you can love in spite of that and not take up an offense, that is power. That is power that only comes through God's love. Matthew 5, 43 through 48. You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Okay, so we are to love the unlovable. We are to love those that aren't like us, that don't believe like us, that don't carry the same convictions politically like us. Sometimes it's hard for me to do, but I have to do it. I have to do it. And we all have to. We all have to love, even if someone is being spiteful and hateful and rude. And we just have to love, because love overcomes everything. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love overcomes. And it says, but you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And you may think, we're human. We're not perfect. Well, no, this isn't talking about being perfect, never committing a sin, never making a mistake. This is talking about perfection that comes through love. This perfection is talking about being perfected because I choose to love as God loves. I choose to love the unlovable. I choose to love those that will speak evil of me and treat me badly. I choose to love. When we do that, God sees us as perfect, because it says you're to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And it's talking about loving, loving. So we have to be willing to forgive. If we're not willing to forgive, then we can't love like God loves, like he loves us, and we're supposed to love others. If we can't forgive, we must forgive. We must forgive, and then we love with God's agape love, that loves by choice and not chance, that loves by choice and not feelings and emotions. And we will win the world through love, because love will draw. Love draws, but hate or haughtiness or arrogance repels. It will drive them away. But if we can love even those that we don't agree with, we don't agree with their lifestyle, if we can show God's love to them. Now, that doesn't mean that we get in agreement with their sin. No, you don't ever get in agreement with their sin. You never compromise the word of God, the biblical standards and principles that we are to live by through the word of God. You never compromise that. You never lower those standards. You keep those standards high. But we are to love those that do not live up to those standards. We love them. And that's how we will draw them into the kingdom. That's how we will draw them to Jesus. Through the Holy Spirit, we'll draw them to Jesus, because they see they're really a Christian. a real Christian really exist. You know, most people think Christians, they're all hypocrites. You know, we talk about love, we talk about God, we talk about all these things that God so loved the world. He gave his only son, and we preach Jesus, and we preach love, and we preach all these things. But then we turn around and show hate, and we show, you know, like we despise them. But we can't. We can't. We have to love them, because love will draw them in. Love will draw them in. Love covers a multitude of sins. Now, we go to key number two. Unity. I spent more time on key number one than I had planned, so I'm probably going to go over a little bit today. So key number two is unity. There is no unity without love. Did you realize that? It takes love to have unity. Now, this unity is not to be confused with conformity. That's one thing we've been hearing from the world. Unity, unity. We've got to all be in unity. But the world's view and description of unity is conformity. No, no, we will not conform. We will not conform to the ways of the world. We only conform to God's word by allowing his word to transform us by the renewing of our minds through his word. So we only conform to God's word. We don't conform to the ways of the world, to the world's thinking, to the world's philosophies, to the humanistic, socialistic, communist, all these things, all these values that are being pushed at us today. We don't conform to the world. Our unity comes through love, through the love of God. And we must show that love and display that love. So John 17:20-23, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus is one with the Father, and he wants us to be one with him and then one with each other, and be in unity that only comes through God's love. There is power in unity because it works through love, God's love. Love unifies, where a cause not grounded in love will force itself upon others and act as a sword dividing family members. God's love brings unity in the family, whether it's your family or the church family. The Lord is looking for willing hearts that are yielded to his spirit and his heart. As we walk by his spirit, we will be given the wisdom we need to bring forth justice and mercy without causing division or disunity. Okay, so love unifies. But a cause not grounded in love will act as a sword and divide. There's a lot of causes. There's a lot of causes out there. And there's a lot of good causes out there. But a cause not grounded in love will act as a sword and divide. And it will drive people away rather than bring people in. Now, as we walk by his spirit, we will be given the wisdom we need to bring forth justice and mercy without causing division or disunity. And justice and mercy, that brings us to key number three, discipline. That is key number three, discipline, another key to love. And that includes and involves justice and mercy. God disciplines us because he loves us. If he didn't love us, he wouldn't care and he wouldn't discipline us. We do the same with our children because we love them. We discipline them because we love them. If we did not love them, we would not discipline them. We wouldn't want to fool with it. It's a hassle. They can just do whatever they want to do. I don't want to fool with them. No, that's not what we do because we love our children. Proverbs 22:15, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Proverbs 23:13, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. Okay, so it takes discipline to drive out the rebellion. Children must be disciplined the same way our Heavenly Father disciplines us, to drive out the rebellion and to keep Satan from being able to just destroy our lives. Now, justice requires discipline, but mercy through God's love brings balance to the discipline. There is always a balance to God's discipline, and there should be a balance to our discipline through justice and mercy. Mercy must be involved. Now, the keys of power, unity, and discipline, you may not necessarily associate with love. When you say, what comes to your mind when you think of love? You probably wouldn't think power, unity, and discipline. That's probably not what you would think. But we must remember, as the old saying goes, love is a many-splendored thing. There are many sides of love. Love is vast. Love is deep. And many aspects to God's love. God's love is deep and wide. Deep and wide. Remember that song you used to sing? Or I did when I was a kid. Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep. Anyway, and that's speaking of God's love. God's love. Now, I want us to look at a statement. Love is a verb. Love is a verb. A verb. It's action. We know how important love is and that we need to experience God's love as sons and daughters. But if it is only a message and not something that moves us to action, it is self-centered and not really love at all. If we are overwhelmed by the love of God, at some point we are moved to love like Jesus. Christ's love is full of passion, purpose, and power that changes the world. His love, when we put it into action, God's agape love, unconditional love, when we put it into action, we will be world changers. We will be difference makers. We will bring people into the kingdom of God when we love as He has commanded us to love. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. The power of love, of God's love, will cause us to endure through every circumstance. No matter what comes against you, no matter what the circumstance is, God's love will cause you to endure through it, and you'll come out better on the other side. God's love. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Three things will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Because love is power. Love is unity. Love is discipline. It takes it all. Look at Colossians 3:12 through 14. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Love is the foundation. Love is what makes everything work. All of these things that it's talking about in Colossians, in these scriptures here, love is the foundation, and it's what makes everything work. It doesn't work without love. We can't forgive without love. We can't, we are not to take up an offense, and we are not to be offended. The Bible says, and it's clear on that. It's not the only scripture. There's a lot of scriptures. We are not to be offended when people hurt us or say something bad about us or mistreat us or take up an offense for someone else that's being mistreated or spoken ill of. We're not to take up an offense. And it takes love to be able to do that. It takes love to forgive. Love is the foundation. It is what makes mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, forgiveness, all of these things. It's what makes it work. And it won't work without love, without God's love. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Now, I'm going to read to you a quote from Rick Joyner, and I want you to look at it with me. Fear must not rule over you. Do nothing because of fear. Do what you do because of love, and you will always win. Love is the source of courage. Love will prevail in the end. So your courage will overcome fear because of the power of love. You will overcome fear because of the power of love if you have God's love in your heart. Now, this is my last statement. Love does not count the cost or focus on the sacrifice. Love is ignoring the calling of self and becoming aware of the rhythm of heaven. Love is the rhythm of heaven. Love is what caused Jesus to pay the price on the cross for all mankind. This is also what allowed the Father to send His only Son, love. His love is the type that does not count the cost, but is compelled to die in order to see the other benefit. Love lives for the one you love. That is God. For God so loved the world that He gave His all. He gave. Now, this is my summary of the message that I just brought. Agape love is God's power through love. When we choose to love as He loves, we will be perfected through love. We will love the unlovable. We will melt the hard heart, cast out fear, bring unity, forgive others, will be patient and kind, will be courageous, will win the lost even without using words. For we will exemplify the love of Christ who died that we may live. Now, look at all the benefits of love. All the benefits of God's love. I can't think of hardly any benefits to man's love, which is a fake love, actually. It's not true love. But God's love is true love. It is the only love. It is the only real love. And look at all the benefits that come through God's love. When we allow His love to be shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, we have power through love. We are perfected through love. We can love the unlovable, melt the hard heart, cast out fear, have unity, forgive, be patient and kind, we'll be courageous, and we will exemplify the love of Christ. exemplify the love of Christ who died that we may live. And that will draw people into the kingdom of God. That love will bring people in and will soften the hardest heart. God's love. God's love. Now, if anyone here today does not have God's love in your heart, I want you to have God's love in your heart today. And if everyone would bow their heads. If you do not feel like you have God's love in your heart, I want you to raise your hand this morning. I want you to raise your hand and say, I want God's love to be in my heart. I want to love like God loves. I want that agape, unconditional love in my heart so that I can love others like God loves me, so that I can love others, that God can love others through me because His love is in my heart. When His love is in our heart, He can love through us and He can reach the hardest heart. Does anyone need to receive God's love in your heart today? Okay, then we're all Christians and we all should have God's love in our hearts. So I'm going to say a prayer over us. Father God, oh Lord, we thank You for Your love. We thank You that You love us so much, for You so loved the world that You gave Your only Son. You gave Your all. Thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. Lord, we want more of Your love in our hearts. We want more of You so that we can truly love as You love, so that we can truly love the unlovable. We can truly love the hateful. We can truly love those that mistreat us. We can truly love those that we do not agree with. We can truly love and love people into Your kingdom. So Lord, help us to draw into You, because more love only comes through intimacy with You. So help us to draw into You and to become more intimate with You and fill our hearts with Your love so that we may love others and the world will know we are Christians by our love. Oh, Lord, fill us, Lord, with Your love. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit that we may love as You love. We pray in Jesus' mighty and loving name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. And we just want, we don't have any first-time guests or second-time guests or anything like that, so I don't need to talk about the connection card. But thank you for being here today. And just allow God and allow the Holy Spirit to shed abroad His love in your hearts at a deeper level. Go up higher. Just press in to God. Develop an intimacy with God. And that's how you will get more of His love in your hearts. Thank you. God bless you. And go and have a great week. You're dismissed.